This is episode 130 on August 27th, 2015.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And joining us today, we have Chris McDonald, which is the one and only McSnappy. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks for coming on. Well, let's get started. But first, let's find out what's been going on. Matt, what you been up to?
Oh, the usual hiking and snapping pictures. I think since our last show last week, I managed to get out to a couple state parks here in Ohio and kind of do a little variety of photography, some like macro stuff and just general landscape stuff. And then actually last night I was out fishing and kayaking in a lake not too far from where I live, and the fish just weren't biting, so I was getting pretty bored, so I just kind of took my phone out and
nice.
The sun was setting, got some pretty nice shots kayak out on the lake.
I saw that and I was jealous. I really was. That was an awesome pick.
Thanks. Yeah, I got a lot more to go through and edit and stuff.
Nice. I've been just kind of hanging around the house. I haven't been too adventurous. It's hard to get out with young kids. I have to rescue my wife from my children whenever I get home. But I did get a video of my newest daughter smiling at herself in a mirror. And so I will post that shortly. But it seems like I've been thinking about doing more video lately just to capture some moments and do that before they get big. And I don't want them to get big. I like them when they're little. But I can't help it. So I try to capture as much as possible. But so Chris, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been up to lately.
Sure. Well, I have a wonderful family with a wife and two teenage kids, so they're a little bit older than your kids.
Yes.
But I can certainly appreciate all the things that you are talking about there with, you know, having little ones around.
Yeah.
I'm an IT professional, and I work in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. area.
Cool.
I'm a classically trained musician.
Wow.
But, of course, photography is a pretty fun hobby for me. Uh-huh. And like Matt, I like doing a lot of hiking and camping and fishing and those things too.
Very cool.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, I just got back from a week-long trip out to West Virginia, where I was able to stay with family and had a lot of opportunities to try out basically every, you know, different camera I own, and it was a blast.
Nice. Yeah, I was talking to Matt, and I told him about your photography, because you're on Instagram, and you you listen to the show, and there was, we're going to talk about this later, but there was a lot of, I think, GoPro and drone photography, and I was mesmerized. And so that is one reason why we kind of asked you on the show. We're going to talk a little bit about that later, but I wanted to let everybody know just, you know, kind of the reasoning behind having you here. I have to say, I love your photography. I think it's awesome.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Well, cool. All right. Let's go ahead and let's move into some news.
News team, assemble!
All right, Matt, why don't you tell the world what we're going to talk about and I'll let you pick the topic first.
There only is one topic as far as I'm concerned.
Not even the teaser?
No. That's whatever. I'll leave that one for you.
Okay.
No, what I'm excited about, and this is like relatively fresh news, is Instagram is no longer just square images. They've kind of opened it up to vertical, like portrait oriented images and landscape.
Sacrilege.
Well, yeah, there's going to be a lot of mixed reactions to this, without a doubt. There's going to be, you know, the purists that say, you know, Instagram's identity is square format.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand that. I get that. And I think when the iPhone was newer, like, you know, the iPhone 4, iPhone 3G or whatever it was called, that format probably made just a lot more sense just because of the resolution of the screen and everything.
Right.
I think it might have just been a little bit more optimized for that format.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, now we have bigger phones with the 6 and the 6 Plus and everything, and there's a lot more photographers that are starting to take the iPhone a little bit more seriously. And you know, Instagram is pretty ubiquitous and popular right now, so I feel like there's a lot of photographers, myself included, that feel like when you're limited to that square format, you're not telling the whole story that you want to tell with your picture.
Right.
And there has been workarounds, like the app Square Ready,
yes,
you know, lets you put your portrait or landscape picture like kind of inside a square.
Yes.
But you're not really taking advantage of the full real estate then, you know, of the screen once you load that into Instagram, you still kind of have white borders somewhere, top and bottom or left and right or on all four sides, depending on how you do it up in Square Ready.
Yeah.
And just scrolling through tonight on Instagram, you know, a lot of people are taking advantage of this change, and the pictures just look so much better. You know, just being able to see. In fact, a lot of the photographers I follow are kind of landscape photographers, and they're reposting pictures that they've posted in the past and said, now I can finally show you the whole image.
Yeah.
The way I intended it to be seen. So I just think it's a great change. You can certainly still post in a square, you know? So if you're one of those people that thinks, you know, Instagram should be square, they're not stopping you from posting your images as a square image. In fact, when you, you know, hit the button to, you know, upload a picture, when the pictures load in, they still load in as a square. You have to hit a little button towards the left, bottom left hand side of the image to change the format.
Well, I think I'm going to be a rebel and continue to do square, because beforehand I was using Square Ready and doing the full photo. I didn't like doing the squares before, but now I'm going to.
Well, Joe, I think we're just going to have to kick you off the show.
Chris, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, this was brand new news to me. I didn't even realize that this was, you know, in the works. And mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, it's like Matt said, there are times where it's just really painful to, you know, take an image that you've made and figure out how to square it and have it still represent kind of what you had in mind. And so I can sometimes do that, but like a lot of folks, I will often, you know, end up running it through an app so that it adds those borders.
Right.
you know, so I'm real anxious to take a look at it and you know, see how it looks. But it's pretty dramatic. I just can't believe they did that, because it just seemed like square photos were synonymous with Instagram.
Right. Is there a specific app you would use to add the borders?
Yeah, I used to use, I think it was called Cropic. I think that's what it was called. But recently, I've been using Nlight to do a lot of just general editing, and then, you know, saving it in a square.
Right. Okay. Very cool.
Cool. Somebody else that has seen the light that is Nlight.
I love that app.
It's such a great app.
Dave in the chat room had said, sometimes a limitation can spur creativity, and sometimes it can stop getting your ideas out. And that's true. So I think it is a great change to Instagram. You know, just because something's always been doesn't mean it's always going to be good. Change is sometimes good, and it gives people the opportunity to become creative the way they want to.
Yeah, definitely. I actually think that this will open up creativity, you know, to where now I think more choices more choices breeds more creativity. Right. And there's lots of people out there that see it the opposite way. Of like, when you limit your choices, then you're forced to get creative. But I just think like photographers don't think in terms of squares for the most part. And right. I just feel like there's probably a lot of really fantastic pictures that are passed up on because you're like, oh, well, I mean, I can't frame this in a square.
Right.
So I just won't even take the picture.
I have a camera sitting behind me on a mantle that does the 6x6 format on film. But not very, you don't see that today with regular cameras. I think it was a novelty at the time that when they did the square, because it did force sort of a branding to Instagram, and people knew it by the square image. But I think they wanted to kind of harken back to the day of the 6x6, like with a twin lens reflex camera or something like that, especially with all the filters that they had on to begin with. But
yeah,
I wanted to mention some other stuff that Instagram had done. They have trending tags in places. They allow you to see what's happening nearby or all over the world. They have curated collections so that, you know, if there's athletes or national parks or anything that Instagram has picked, you can scroll through those. Places you can search by, locations. I think that'll be very interesting, especially if you're going on vacation and you're going to a place you've never been to. You can probably look through that area and see what people have been taking pictures of. Search by location and search by posts. I think I'm curious to know if they're going to do something in the way of being able to go back by years and look through people's images. I've got over 2,300 images on my Instagram account, and some of them are probably almost 200 weeks old. And that would put it, what, three? No. That's 4 years.
It's like 4 years.
Yeah. And to try to scroll through 2,300 images is a chore. So I wonder if you know, they would give you the chance of being able to search by year, by month, or just put in a date and see what comes up close to it. I think that would be cool instead of having to continuously scroll. But
definitely.
Yeah.
So for everyone listening, so I guess I posted this in our little Facebook group earlier this afternoon and got a couple comments about, you know, the feature's not there. So I don't know how exactly Facebook rolled or not Facebook, but Instagram rolled this out. But basically on this past Wednesday, the August 26th, there was an update to Instagram. So if you haven't updated your Instagram yet, you're going to want to do that. And at the very bottom of the notes on the update, it mentions this. I don't have the notes in front of me, but I'm pretty sure it's at the very bottom. It mentions, you know, that it now supports these, you know, other formats. But I think a lot of people are finding that they're not getting the feature until like tonight.
Yeah.
You know, like I checked and checked and checked. In fact, what I was expecting was another update or something to enable it. And I thought, well, that's weird. Why does it say that there's this feature in yesterday's update, but I don't actually have the feature? And then just like this evening, magically, it just appeared. So
yeah, there's a little emblem at the, when you go to put your photo in, there's a little emblem at the bottom left that you can either use to fill in the frame or you can zoom out to fit the image. And then you can actually combine your images. They actually give you a choice to fill the entire square with two images. And I think you have to upload or download that feature. So we're still playing around.
You're talking about the separate app. It's called Layout.
Yeah. It says Git Layout. Right. I use, what is it? Let me pull it up. I use
Pick Frame.
In Frame Cut.
Oh.
I'm gonna write that one down. Pick Frame.
Yeah, and I went ahead and just literally this minute upgraded my Instagram client. And Matt, like you said, the note there just says now we support landscape and portrait photos and videos.
Nice.
Oh, yes. I forgot it. I'm not a video guy, so I always like omit, not on purpose. I just forget about video stuff. But yes, video as well.
I have a video to upload tonight. That'll be cool.
Yeah, and I actually just also right this second, it's like we're all not paying attention to this podcast as we're recording it. But I just uploaded my first portrait oriented photo. Ooh. Very excited about it. I think I might take off work tomorrow. I'm so excited.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's cool. Hey Matt, I just liked it.
Oh man, you're the best.
Well, cool. So, the only other thing. So, oh, go ahead.
No, so I was just gonna say. So I know there's a lot of people out there that are not probably as into photography and iPhone photography that, because I saw the comments on some of the tech websites today that are like, this is news, you know, big whoop, but. I mean, how long has Instagram been a thing? It's been, you know,
5 years
or something now. It is kind of a big deal. It's a major change, and I think it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, no, you're right. All right. The only other news that we have is that, quote unquote, Apple has announced that they're going to announce on September 9th, I guess, some news. So we just wanted to put that out. So be aware of that. We kind of already knew, but it's a unofficially official, or is it officially official?
I'm going to say it's officially official. It was unofficially official last before night. Today.
Okay. Got it. but I know Matt's excited. He's ready for his new phone.
Oh my gosh, am I ever.
How's your phone doing?
Well, that depends on what I'm doing with it.
Yeah.
So, for the most part, it's behaving, but I've had a couple instances where I thought I killed it.
No. That's not good.
Like, for instance, here, let me just throw this little nugget of info out there for everybody that is a fan of this podcast. So, when that other guy, Mark, was still on the show, I'm sure everybody remembers him. He would mention from time to time this fabled YouTube channel that we have.
Yes.
That we really never do a whole lot with. And don't say that.
He's going to be mad because he's trying to do stuff with it.
I know. Let me talk.
Okay,
me talk.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
We're actually making strides to change that.
Yes.
To put content on it, to make it, you know, something that people are going to want to go to and check it out. And so this past week, I've been playing with software on my iMac to where I can mirror my iPhone to the Mac.
Nice.
And I can record it. So basically I could do, you know, like app walkthroughs or like how to's on like editing and stuff like that and record it as a video. And I could, you know, have voiceover and sound and everything like that on it. Well, I got an old iMac and I have an iPhone 5 and both of those things hate this. They absolutely hate it. 100%. So what happened the other day when I was playing with it was at first everything was rocking and rolling and I was like, wow, this is super cool. I mean, it was like instantaneous. I'd make a swipe or something on my iPhone and like a nanosecond later, the little iPhone screen that was on my computer would do the same thing. It was so neat. And so I started editing this picture and I was doing it in Nlight and I was really messing around with the picture for like 2 minutes on editing. And then I got to like this one point and I hit like a filter and all of a sudden my phone screen turned into like a whole bunch of like vertical stripes.
Ooh.
And then the phone just shut down.
That's an added feature.
That's a what?
It's an added feature.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't like it. It's not what I asked for, so I really don't like it. But so that was kind of concerning. So I got everything fired back up, and I went back into Nlight. I went to the same filter and hit the filter, and the phone did it again.
Mm.
The whole screen turned into vertical stripes. Kind of like you see like on a TV, you know, when it's got that weird colored stripe thing.
Yeah.
Going on. It was like that. And then it shut down.
Ooh.
And so I'm like, man, I don't know what's going on. So I restart the phone. And I thought, you know what? Maybe for some reason it just doesn't like Nlight. I'm just going to try editing in Snapseed. See how that goes. And plus I was trying to test the audio and everything.
Yeah.
And then the stupid app on the iMac would, it just kept shutting down. And I was like really getting frustrated. I was ready to just throw everything out into the middle of the street. So
video it before you do that.
A new, I definitely need a new computer, but a new phone can't come soon enough.
Yeah, I know. It's, I'm curious to see what the new features are going to be. I know you're, you know, you can't wait to get something that actually works. And
I'm jonesing, man. I'm champion at the bit.
Yeah, I bet. All right. Well, let's go ahead and we're going to move into our focus point.
Focus point.
All right. And Chris, you are our focus point today.
The spotlight's on you, buddy.
That's right.
That's great.
So just to, you know, kind of reiterate what we said earlier, I have been, you know, seeing your photography on Instagram, and I've been mesmerized. You've done some drone photography, video. I think you're using a GoPro with the drone. But you're also doing some macro photography and video. And so just explain a little bit of what you've been doing lately. And, you know, we'll we'll kind of pick your brain and see, you know, see what we can employ in our own tactics. But go ahead.
Sure. Well, so, you know, if you look at a lot of folks on Instagram, you know, often people will kind of focus on a particular style, you know, be that, you know, just flowers or macro or, you know, whatever. And of course, I'm just ridiculously eclectic, I guess. I just, you know, I like it all. And so I've always been interested in photography as an amateur kind of point and click shooter without really knowing exactly what I was doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, like a huge number of people on the planet today, I discovered that you could do pretty amazing things with the camera attached to your phone.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's not just the camera, which is pretty good for having, shall I say it, such a tiny shutter, you know, and a tiny sensor and tiny lens, but it's really the power of that device that it's attached to. So, you know, it got to a point where I was just using my iPhone all the time. And, you know, at some point I discovered the Tiny Shutter podcast. And, you know, I've learned so much just from you guys over the last year. I think pretty much every one of my favorite apps that I use, I've learned about from, you know, from this podcast.
Well, cool.
And it's, you know, it's where I learned about this, these, you know, like the Olo Clip and some of the other macro lenses that you could put on your iPhone. And so, you know, I started doing macro photography with my iPhone.
What are you using for your macro lenses?
So I am using an Olo Clip, and I got the 3-in-1, which is a little bit older, but it's got basically a 7x, a 14x, and a 21x lens.
Okay.
And then, you know, I don't know, at some point, one of the people that I follow, posted a macro video. And of course I thought, wow, that is, that is just too cool. So yeah. So some of the things I've posted recently were like macro video, slow motion. It's like, let's combine it all.
Wow.
And then, but I also have a Micro Four Thirds camera as well, and I actually recently picked up a macro lens for that. So, you know, I use both of those, and of course, you mentioned the GoPro. You know, I have a GoPro as well, and so I've used that for taking video when I'm snorkeling.
Yeah.
I've even taken it up in airplanes before. And then finally, within the last year, I combined it with a quadcopter.
Now, the quadcopter caught my eye when you were on the beach kept getting the water in the waves. Tell us where you were and what you were doing.
Yeah. So that was, from a couple months ago. We were in Bethany Beach, which is in Delaware. And I would get up pretty early, and I would walk to the beach before sunrise, and I would get my quadcopter set up. And what I'd try to do is fly that out over the waves, and then fly it backwards towards me, and try to get as close to the waves as possible. And kind of fly it along the waves. I thought that'd be kind of a, you know, a cool shot.
Now, I have to say this. I would be deathly scared of putting it into the water. And not only, you know, from my mistakes, but whenever you go to the beach, there's wind. So what was it, a calm day? Was it really windy? Did you have to make a lot of adjustments? What did you do?
So that's the beauty of this particular drone. This drone that I use is called a Phantom. It's a DJI Phantom 2. And the thing that really sets this thing apart, or at least when it first came out, was the fact that it's GPS enabled. Now, what in the world does that mean? It means when you first turn the thing on, it locks on to, I think, at least 7 satellites, and it marks its position, and it knows exactly where it is, literally on the planet. And so what it will then do is it will always fight to maintain its current location. So if you let go of the controls completely, it's going to stop exactly where it is, and it's going to hover. So if there's wind, the rotors on this thing will counter the effects of the wind, keep it exactly where it is in place. And so that makes it incredibly stable and very easy to fly.
Wow. I imagine that this particular drone is not inexpensive.
That is right. So I imagine if you purchased the one that that I have, if you went out and bought it today, because these things, like everything, right, there's always a new one coming out.
Right.
This one that I have is a Phantom 2. I think the last time I checked, if you went out and bought this today, it's probably going to be about $700.
Oh, okay.
It's not outrageous.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, right? So it's not just a drone. I have a GoPro on it.
Right.
I have a gimbal on it. I've got all this tech that I added to it, which makes the cost go up.
So you're looking at possibly around $1,200 or more for your setup. Okay.
That's right. And then the new one that they have out now, the Phantom 3, what you'll find is if you go look at these things, they now sell a unit that's got the gimbal built in, the camera built in, it's all built in. It's a kind of a package deal, so you don't have to do what I did, which is add all of these third-party products onto it. You can buy it as a single unit.
Okay.
Yeah, the thing with the Phantom 3, though, is it's, I mean, right now, if you kind of did what you did, where you bought it kind of piecemeal and put it all together, mm-hmm. you're spending the same amount of money to get the Phantom 3, if not a little bit more.
If you were to get the Phantom 2 and piece it together?
Yeah, I mean the Phantom 3 is running like in the neighborhood of like $1,400.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty pricey. But the other thing that I ended up having to add that I just added literally right before my trip to West Virginia was a what they call FPV or first person view.
Ooh.
And you add essentially a monitor. It's about the size of a small, you know, iPad that you mount to your transmitter, so you're actually seeing the video feed from the GoPro.
Okay.
And you know, because before I added that, I'm really flying blind.
Yeah.
You're guessing at the shot and hoping that what you're trying to catch is in frame.
That was going to be my next question, because I imagine you're doing a lot of takes. You have to view the video to say, oh, okay, that's what it's doing. Let me try something different and then go from there. Whereas now you can actually see what the quadcopter is actually doing.
Yeah, and I'll give you a great example of that from that same beach trip that you mentioned. I had it out there one morning, and there was this pod of dolphins. The sun is just coming up. There's this pod of dolphins. I've got the drone out there. I think I'm capturing like the footage of my lifetime, right? It's just, I'm right there 5 feet over this pod of dolphins. I'm panning back. They're jumping out of the water. I can't wait to get back to the house to take a look at my footage. And when I did, I realize I was off by about 10 feet just because my depth perception being what it is, right? I thought I was right over them.
Yeah.
And I wasn't.
Oh.
That's painful, dude.
Yeah. I agree.
So now how many takes did it take for you to finally figure out, what you needed to do in order to get the good shots? Was it like one take, or did you have multiple takes, to kind of figure out how the drone operated and what you were able to capture on your camera?
Yeah, that's a great question. So here's what I've kind of started to do. The battery on this lasts about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I usually have a pretty good idea of what I want to capture. And what I'll typically do is do, three or four passes along what it is I'm trying to capture. That's a lot easier now that I can see it through this video screen. But you really can't tell until you get the thing back and you've got it loaded on your computer. And what I found is that by taking those multiple takes, I'm bound to get something that I like.
Uh-huh.
And what I've often done is I discovered a setting on my GoPro that I didn't realize was there, and it's become really cool for me now as I'm doing these shots. You can have it taking a video and then have it automatically capture a photo every X number of seconds. So say 10 seconds or 30 seconds. So when I'm up flying it around, I'm capturing video for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But then I come back with all of these images as well. And between those two things, I'm usually going to get something, pretty good.
Nice. And does the drone itself, access the settings for the GoPro from the drone?
So basically it's mounted underneath and you have to set it all up ahead of time.
Oh,
there's no kind of remote control of that feature. And I think that's one of the things that sets the Vision or the Phantom 3, I forget what they call it now, but the Vision kind of apart from a GoPro. With the Vision app, with the Phantom 3, I think you can actually change all that while you're flying it.
Because the GoPro can be remotely accessed through Wi-Fi, right?
You can. I've never tried to do that because everything I've read said that, you've got just too many things in terms of signals going on, and they might interfere with each other.
Okay. Hmm.
So one other thing just worth mentioning, you mentioned kind of being worried about, losing it or dropping it in the water, which is always a concern. But I mentioned this GPS capability. One thing that this drone will do is if you fly it out of range from your transmitter, or let's just say the batteries die on your transmitter, the drone will automatically fly back to where you launched it, and will land.
Oh, wow. Hopefully you're not in a boat.
Well, okay, so and I've done this. I've taken it out to the lake and taken it out on a boat. But what I would do is I would set the waypoint, the home point, on land first. Then I go out on the boat.
Okay.
And that way it'll go back
to the land.
Land on land. Yeah.
Put floaties on the drone.
Yeah, some people do that.
Oh.
Yeah, by no means do I have any kind of setup even remotely as awesome as what you have. But I did spend, I'm a big spender, and I spent about 1/30th of what you spent on a really cheap quadcopter. I can't even call it a drone. It's a toy basically, but it does have four propellers, and it did come with a 2 megapixel quote unquote HD camera. Now, there is no GPS, you know, with it, with this thing, and it weighs like ounces. So if it's windy, it gets blown all over the place. And, anyone that listens to the Lens Wipe podcast that we do knows that, like, immediately after I got it, I got it stuck in a tree, which I blame on the wind.
Yes.
I did get it back, but,
you could blame the wind for that.
Yeah, I could blame the wind for that too, but that's, it's really more I'm thanking the wind for that than blaming. But, you know, it's one of them things where, like, I just got it because, like, it seemed cool and it was, you know, relatively inexpensive. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to check this out, see what it's all about. And it's, like, addicting. And, you know, now I'm kind of I'm looking at these things, like, a little bit more seriously now. So it's like this cheap little, like 40 some dollar quadcopter. It's like my gateway drug into this.
Did you have any prior devices, or did you go straight to the Phantom 2?
Yeah, so I've always so I have had a number of RC aircraft before, mostly helicopters. So I've had a lot, and I tell you what, most of them are hard to fly. I mean, you're constantly having to fly them and focus on flying them. And when I got this Phantom, I was just shocked at how easy it is to fly. And it's, I think really it was one of the first ones that was really designed for the masses. You know, they market it as just being easy to fly, and it really is. And again, I think it's because of that. I think it's because of the GPS. You know, if you let go of the controls on a regular RC anything, but certainly a helicopter, if you let go of the controls on it, it's going to crash.
Right.
With this Phantom, you let go of the controls, it's just going to stop where it is. And that's when you're trying to do photography, that's really important, because you can focus more on the photography and less on the flying.
No, that yeah, not having that variable does help you to stay focused.
Exactly.
Well, cool. Well, before we move on, I wanted you to touch a little bit on your macro video, and in particular some of your insect video. How did you get, like, some of the insects to actually stay close to you while you were recording it?
Yeah, so there's not one answer. I would, you know, in one case, you know, it's kind of lame just to tell you, but I was literally just sitting on my patio, and I just, for whatever reason, happened to have my iPhone with the Olo clip on it, and this this bug, like, landed on my leg. It's like, you know, I'm the bug whisperer or something. I mean, it just came to me, and so I didn't even have to move. I just, you know, I moved my phone down to my leg and took a video of it. So that, you know, I've done that, and then in other cases, you know, we've got a lot of flowers and plants in our yard, and there are just bugs and bees and butterflies everywhere.
Nice.
And in many cases, it's just really easy just to kind of get up close to them, you know, pick the right lens on your Olo clip, and as long as you can hold it reasonably still, you've got a pretty good shot of shot at, you know, capturing it. So it's okay. It's like most things, it just requires practice, I guess.
So are you using a iPhone 5 or a 6 for your with the Olo clip?
So I'm using an iPhone 5S.
Okay.
Which is it's my old phone. I have a 6 Plus, but I kept the 5S literally just for macro photography.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. So you always, that's why you were sitting there saying, oh, I had my Olaclip sitting on it. It was just, you were just waiting for an opportunity.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I am interested to see what the 6S has for the video. I'm not video. For the sensor. I'm not too happy with the 6 and its image stabilization. And I've mentioned that on other episodes. But did you notice anything with the 6 Plus that may have turned you off to actually taking images with it?
No, I really haven't, and I've heard you mention that, you know, the last couple shows, and I don't know, maybe it's just I haven't noticed it, but I've been real happy with it. I have kind of this love-hate relationship with that phone because it's, you know, I have the 6 Plus, and it's just ginormous, which is great when you're wanting to, you know, edit photos and look at photos, but you know, when you're carrying it around, it's just gigantic.
When you take pictures and you're like holding it and you're trying to, you know, hold it in a way that you can, you know, hit the button.
Yeah.
I have the same thing with my 6. If with work, I have to take pictures and sometimes I'm holding other equipment. So I'm trying to do it one handed and it's like, it's a little cumbersome, but, you know, I don't think they're going to get any smaller. So I think we're going to have to get used to that.
I think you're right.
Well, cool. Matt, did you have anything else you wanted to ask Chris?
No, I think we covered the drone stuff pretty well.
Okay, cool. Well, let's go ahead and we're going to move into post pick of the week.
Post pick of the week.
All right. As is tradition, I think this is the second time, but as is tradition, our guest we have asked previously to choose the post pick of the week and to explain their themselves for picking it. No, we asked Chris to do post pick of the week. So, Chris, why don't you go ahead and tell us who you picked and what the image is of?
Sure. So my pick for the week is from Instagram user MSQRD, and his name is Marco, and he has an image that it looks like it's a nighttime image of Chicago, I believe, with this pretty amazing lightning shot in the background. It's titled Convergence, and you know, I partly picked it because I just thought it was a really cool shot, and I partly picked it because I'm just jealous because I'd love to get a shot like that.
Is lightning photography going to be your next goal?
It's on my bucket list.
Yeah.
With the drone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this one. It's very, I have to say it's very, crisp and clean. It is square. So we have to mention that for people now that we can do, the other stuff. I'm just kidding. But, I like being able to see the city, the lights, and then having the light show above it. It is a awesome image. What do you think, Matt?
It's pretty killer. It's like a spider web of lightning. So it's just really, it's a lot of lightning. It's really just pretty awesome looking. If I was going to like say like nitpick at all, and this is just me because I'm a weirdo, but I'm just like one of those people that just thinks that like Instagram should be like iPhone pictures.
Oh.
And if it's not an iPhone picture, then I think that you should indicate that it's not. Right.
Right.
And so like to his credit, in his little, like, I don't know, like bio part or whatever profile, he does list.
Yes.
That he, you know, he uses like some different Canon cameras, and this is obviously not shot with the iPhone.
You never know. No, no, I don't think no. It was either.
it's way too clean of an image.
Yeah.
You know, especially for this time of day.
Yeah.
It's just way too clean for it to have been shot with an iPhone. And really the only way to like do something like this is
long exposure.
One, to either just add the lightning with an app,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think he did. This looks like a real, you know, yes. a real burst of lightning. And the other way to do it is with a long exposure.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's apps out there that you can get that, I think one might be called like Lightning Cam or something, that it's basically just like a lightning trigger, for your iPhone. If it senses lightning, it'll trip the shutter on your camera and, you know, attempt to capture the lightning.
What's it called again?
Or you could probably use an app like Slow Shutter Cam or something, but I don't think Slow Shutter Cam would record the lightning like in that nice crisp streaks like that. I think it would end up looking like really weird because of the way Slow Shutter Cam works.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is definitely taken with one of the Canon cameras. I just wish that, like, I don't know. I guess I'm just like stupid and naive, but I just assume when I'm looking at Instagram, for the most part, I'm seeing iPhone pictures. So I mean, there's certain like accounts that I follow on Instagram where I know,
right,
they're not Instagram pictures, right?
Nat Geo.
But for the most part, I figure I'm looking at some sort of smartphone photography. So I just wish people would say, like, you know, I shot this with a Canon whatever or a Nikon whatever, you know.
Yeah. What was the lightning, what was that app you said, the after
I think it's called Lightning Cam. Okay. But I'll have to look that up.
I'll look it up,
double
too.
Check here.
Yeah, I understand what you're talking about, and I remember when Instagram first started and people were like, oh, you're not doing it right if you're not doing it with an iPhone. But at the time when I got onto Instagram, I only had an iPad that had no camera. So the only way for me to be able to add images was with my Canon camera or my Kodak point and shoot. But I really like this image. It is something to, I want to say, inspire towards. And you know, one of these days I'll get lucky, or I'll be diligent in trying to get lightning, because a lot of times I just sit there, oh yeah, it's lightning and thundering. This year it hasn't been, because we had a strange summer, but most summers we have a lot of lightning.
Yeah, I know. Last year when I moved to Ohio that spring, there was like the most insane amount of like crazy thunderstorms with lots of lightning, and I really didn't like go out and try to get any pictures or anything because I was brand new to the area and I wasn't really sure like where to go and right. stuff like that. So I, you know, when spring started to roll around this year, I was like, oh man, I can't wait. You know, I want to go out and do some photography. And then we just didn't really get any storms. So I haven't really seen lightning at all this spring and summer.
Yeah. Dave in the chat said that he does video and then took screenshots of the lightning. I guess I could
cheating.
Do that.
Cheating, cheating, cheating. No, I'm just kidding. I don't care. That app is called Lightning Cam.
Okay.
There's probably some other ones, but that's the one that I have on my phone that I've used maybe one time so far in the like 2 years I've had it. But.
Nice. Well, cool. Well, good job, Chris, for picking such an awesome image. Congratulations to Marco. And if you are interested in becoming a post pick of the week, go on to Instagram and use the hashtag TinyShutter. And you may be next to a spammer. We actually got a spammer this week. I guess accounts that try to get people to go over to risque sites, but they actually use the hashtag Tiny Shutter. That's kind of weird. But go, hashtag your image Tiny Shutter, and then every week we go through and we choose the image that we like. Unfortunately, as Chris mentioned before the show started, it is hard to pick the best one because they're all really good. So good job to everybody that's out there. We enjoy doing this segment because we get to showcase such awesome work from our listeners, and it gives an idea for others and inspiration towards doing better photography. So good job. All right, I did want to bring one thing up before we go. Mark and I had been talking about doing more stuff on our website. And I didn't mention this to Matt yet, or Mark could have told Matt, but one of the things that we want to do is we want to curate a page on our website for apps, and to make a list of the apps, like specifically if you want to do the waterfalls, well, you know, what's the best one to use, slow shutter cam, or if you have an app that gives the borders so that you could put a 2x3 or 3x4 image on Instagram, not anymore. You know, what apps can we list to give the best features? Whether it's red eye, whether it's video, whether it's combining, doing composite images, or like what Matt likes to do is add stuff to his photographs and make them, you know, make a very good shot incredible. So we also want to hear what you guys have to say too. We cannot go and search through every single app to be able to find what's the best one for this or that. It's physically impossible for us. So we want to crowdsource and be able to get other people's opinions and go through and start listing some of these apps so that when people are saying, you know what, I want to be able to do light trails, they can type in light trails, and we want the first thing to pop up is to be tinyshutter.com. And I think we can do that. And I don't think it would be that difficult. So if you have an idea of an awesome app, send us a description and what the app is called. And you can submit it to Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, shoot us a message on Instagram. I don't think I have an email for Tiny Shutter. We'll try to get one of those. But we're looking for submissions. And I think this is a great way to be able to help other people who are new to photography and iPhoneography to be able to find the apps without having to dig through the App Store. What do you think, Matt?
It sounds perfect. I actually kind of tuned out. I'm really sorry.
That's all right.
I got distracted on the...
Oh, on the chat?
Yeah.
You were cheating on me with the chat? That's cool. cool. Well, is there anything else that you want to bring up?
No, sir.
Awesome. Well, this was a great show. Chris, thank you so very much for coming on and talking about your photography.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
Why don't you tell everybody where they can find your photography, and if there's anything else that you want to plug or anything like that, why don't you go ahead and let everybody know?
Sure. Well, you can find me on Instagram, and I am Mick Snappy.
Awesome. Well, cool. Matt, why don't you tell the world where they can find you?
You can check me out on Instagram, IM, and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Awesome. And you can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show and any of the other links that we talk about at tinyshutter.com. Go there. If you have any suggestions or comments, you can place a comment in the chat in the comments of our episodes, or you can join us on Facebook and see some great photography, some great discussions, and even we've had people that have asked questions, and there's plenty of people to either give an answer or to help guide people in a certain direction. So I encourage you to join us on Facebook and join the community. We love to have new people join. We've had a few this last couple weeks that have joined, and we're getting some very good content on Facebook. So if you're not there, you're missing out. And also, I've been meaning to plug our sister show, The Meatloaf. Mark and Maude and Mikey and some other guests have been working diligently on The Meatloaf podcast. They actually did a live card game that the Night Attack podcast had put together. So, and a lot of it has to do with hilarity and nonsense, but it's a lot of fun. And I encourage you guys to go on there and listen. And we also, once a month, we try to put up a lens wipe episode where we can talk about photography, but then also make fun of photography. And it's a lot of fun, too. So if you're not listening to The Meatloaf and Lens Wipe, I encourage you to go download it and take a listen. So, all right, I think we're done.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Again, Chris, thank you for coming on, and maybe we'll have you come on some other time, especially when you're doing something fantastic again.
Great. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. All right, Matt, good show. And
thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
You too.
And we will see you guys.
And thank you, McSnappy.
Yeah. All right, guys. Good night.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.